Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls. Today on episode 76.
Yeah, absolutely. I think any of the greatest gains that I've ever seen or that I've ever done has been the result of blending things together. When you can blend them together because you've had different experiences, you've had, you know, different insights than somebody else. And so you put them together, like I put together having a teacher being in the home, you know, that's a different kind of thought and what they can do. And that was a blend of different things, you know, having women and having technology and bringing those together into the entrepreneurship startup space, that was different than other people were thinking about. Being different has always been the path that I've seen be successful when you really believe it and it's really who you are.
Today on episode 76, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Terry Brax. As the founder and CEO of Women Tech Founders, an organization that shares the stories and lessons of visionary women at the forefront of the tech industry, and founder and CEO of Teacher Care Inc., a company that provides world-class private education and childcare, she creates platforms that unleash the potential of women and children. Additionally, she's an educational speaker on innovation, entrepreneurship and community building, and a founding member of DePaul's Women Entrepreneurial Institute and Roosevelt University's Women in Leadership Council. She's been a Forbes Woman, the Tribune's Most Remarkable Women, the Herald's Influential Women in Business, 50 on Fire Civic Leader, Comcast Newsmaker, and featured in Crain's, The New York Times, Entrepreneur Magazine, and others. So thank you so much, Terry, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, and Arna, I am so honored to be here. This is wonderful what you're doing, and I'm so happy to have the opportunity to help in any way that I can. My name's Terry, and I think Arna has pretty much given all the information that I can think of at this moment, so I will leave it at that. Thank you, Arna.
Of course. So my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
Yes. And so my career path, I feel like started before I started working, as with a lot of people, especially people who go into like social impact type of work. The seeds are often there when you're really, really young. And in my situation, I had been adopted very young, and my adoptive parents had struggled with mental health issues. And I had a mom who was a political prisoner, and she had been through some, you know, horrific types of situations, which back in the day, they didn't have mental health counseling and all these types of things. It really wasn't understood what she was going through. But while she was not quote unquote qualified to have a white healthy baby at that point, she was given the option to adopt children who were of color or who had handicapped, or they said at that point, quote unquote, you know, handicaps. So my brother was born with one hand and some other physical challenges, and he and I were adopted, and we had some challenging situations growing up. There was a lot of racism. We grew up in an area that there wasn't like any understanding about looking different from the norm, and I was literally the only minority in my school, that type of thing. I think that worldview that I had, understanding what my mom had gone through, understanding what my brother had gone through, and then some of the difficulties that came up through all of that, had always set me on a path where I wanted to be able to improve lives. I had like no idea how to do it at that point, and I didn't have guidance on how to do it. So I was just talking to my daughter about this. I have spent like my whole life, like just kind of stumbling through things, trying to figure them out as I go, making lots of mistakes along the way and trying to self-correct. And that has served me really well. I took my first job was as a waitress, and I learned about people, and I learned how much I enjoyed working with people, being part of a team, serving other people, you know, and the challenges that came with that, I think gave me a really solid base to be able to go on to my next moves, which were, I went into computer sales. They were called large mainframe sales to the government, things like that. And again, it was a lot about people skills, and wound up specializing in small business. And from that point, I kind of got the bug, the entrepreneur bug. And I also had a friend that was starting a business. And so I had a chance to see how that is done. And that understanding of how hard it is and the ups and the downs of all of it gave me a realistic base to be able to start that myself. So after working in the computer industry for a couple years with I had a young baby at that time, that things got very, very challenging. And I started my own business, and using what I really wanted to have for my own family, which is somebody that was really amazing, that was going to make a huge difference in my child's life while I was at work. And my best friend had a teacher that she wound up having in her home, and just seeing the difference, I could tell, you know, versus somebody who was untrained or not understanding the value of education for a young child, I could see the difference that made. I knew other parents would want that as well. And so teacher care was born at that point. And teacher care is an agency now that provides teachers that work in private families' homes. They do childcare as an alternative to a nanny. They do home learning pods, homeschooling. Really, it's an alternative to the classroom that allows a family to be able to meet different challenges with children with special needs, you know, just do a lot of amazing things with children. And during that time, I wanted to be able to scale that. And I kind of leaned on some of my technology background and put together an online platform, which took me into the startup world that was just starting in Chicago, which was super exciting. And I thought, okay, this is how we can grow. And there was going to be an amazing amount of support and all that type of thing. But it was just getting started in Chicago, and there were virtually no women anywhere. So at that point, they said that there were 3% of all the startups were led by women. And so there weren't those role models. There weren't, you know, it was more like it was built around the idea of doing all-nighters and things like that, that, you know, as a mom, as a young mom and things like that, you can't do. So I gradually got to meet a few of the other women who were working on startups, and we together formed Women Tech Founders, which is now basically an association for women to help them grow their startups, to connect with each other. And we put on a lot of events, things like that as well, but it's about supporting each other.
I absolutely love that. I mean, whenever you had a situation or a problem that arose, you decided to take action. And as you said, you self-corrected yourself. You saw like the problem of how many different kids weren't given the access to education, and you decided to tackle that problem and provide that platform to people. So what you did was you kind of saw this problem and you took it upon yourself to help that, not for yourself, but for other people. And I think that's truly admirable. And I'm so happy that, you know, I'm able to talk to you here.
Well, same here. I should just throw in one more piece. One of the things that I did right before starting the business was I was doing a lot of volunteer work to help children in shelters and foster care, that type of thing. And I did a lot of one-on-one, but stepping into this whole startup scenario, I saw a lot of other women that were doing a lot of incredible work for children in various different ways. And that was what really stuck with me, that if I could get behind them, they could help a lot of people, you know, in a lot of really amazing ways. And women at that point didn't have the support that they needed. They didn't have the connections that they needed. So that was a big piece of why I really believed in doing what we did.
Absolutely. And my question for you is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
So I believe that the most important part when you're choosing a career is to figure out what's inside of you. So what is it that you really care about? And what are you good at? And kind of bring those two together. And of course, what do you love doing? Because when you're thinking about career, you're going to spend so much time with it all. And if you can figure out the intersection of those three, then you have something that you can really build on. And whether that is entrepreneurship or whether it's going into whatever career it is, if you can find that purpose, and that's kind of where those three intersect, is in the purpose, that's, I believe, the job of your life, to figure that out. And I believe that everyone has a unique, amazing purpose. And if they can find that, it will kind of guide them through the rest of the choices that they're going to be making throughout their life. So the sooner that you can figure that out, the better. And it may change, you know, as life evolves, you become different people and you can keep changing that. But holding on to those three is really important. And then, as if you decide to go into entrepreneurship, by building on that purpose, then you figure out, are there other people that share this thing that I care about, you know, this problem that I want to solve? And if they are there enough of them? And will they be willing to pay to solve this problem? And if you can nail all that together, then you have a really great business or nonprofit or whatever it is that you want to build. Then you have a strong, strong foundation.
Absolutely. Like in school, what really happens is someone might have a career goal, but a lot of other people might be, you know, indecisive and might not know what they want to do. But it's totally okay, because as you said before, things can always evolve and change, and everyone has a purpose. My interest might not be the same as my friend, and that's totally okay. And it's okay if you don't know what you want to do, because it's out there. You just have to go and find it and be willing to try.
Absolutely. And the world is changing so fast now, like with AI and everything, there's going to be so many opportunities that we're sitting here talking today. They don't even exist. And they're going to be coming at a faster time all the time. So the ability to be able to kind of know who you are, what you care about, and then just be able to go through it and you know, connect in different ways to it and be flexible like that. Different opportunities are going to be striking all of you than ever had, you know, ever came my way. And I you know, just hope that you'll be able to be open to those opportunities and know when there's some of them that are going to connect to who your life or who you want to be in your life.
Absolutely. And it's totally good to actually go through the motions of finding different career paths or different things, because, you know, as we're talking right now, there's probably some really big thing happening in the world like today, and we might not know of it. So things are always changing, and it's good to go through the motions of finding new things.
Absolutely.
All right. And my question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
So there are actually quite a few different things that need some debunking. Obviously, there are many people that don't recognize how important diversity can be to build anything. If you surround yourself with people that are exactly like you, you're never going to grow and be able to explore the new ideas that can evolve by having people who are different from you. And so I think if you can build a team around yourself, whether that's a friendship team, whether that's a work team, wherever you are in life, it's always going to be healthier if there's people that don't think exactly like you, but you can be open to taking in what they're telling you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like what I do is, It's a bit of a bad habit, but I compartmentalize my life. So, I separate school stuff and my friends and friends from other places. But in reality, something that you should probably think about is maybe joining those together because you get so many different perspectives. You don't have to separate this stuff and that stuff and then the other stuff. It's okay if you bring things together. And I'm kind of guilty of it because I like separating things. But if I bring things together, then there's so much more diversity and I could learn different ideas that I wouldn't have already known.
Absolutely. And the numbers, you know, the research really bears out that new idea generation, more profitable companies, all those kinds of things, they're greatly increased when you can do that. And if you want to be a leader in anything, if you can, even if your group is very similar, but you can learn to reach out to people in other groups, that is going to bring value to everyone. So, however you look at it, the idea of other views and other points of view, other skills, all of it is just going to be so much better for you short term, long term, all the way around. Sometimes there's going to be a price that you pay, especially when you're a teenager. It's hard to be the one who's different, who takes a different view. And, everybody says, this is the group that we have, and these are the kinds of ways that we are, or the kinds of people that we stay away from. But if you can be open to taking the time and the effort to reach out to some of these people that others don't understand, that can open your worldview, and then it can change other people's worldviews as well.
Absolutely. And it's really hard to go away from that path. Like in school, there's always going to be that type of clique that everyone wants to be a part of. And if you stray away from the quote unquote goals that they have, then you're going to be an outlier. But it goes back to the diversity that you said, that no one really wants to be the exact same in like the corporate world or actually just in life. So it's okay. And it's actually good to stray away from the normal path and figure out yourself early on because everyone has a purpose.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, you'll have people tell you that your value isn't important, that your thought is not correct, and you have to be able to realize if this is something that you believe, it's come from somewhere. It's come from your unique mix of your genetics and your experiences that you've had in life. And, no one can tell you that you are wrong about having a belief that's important to you.
Absolutely. And my question for you is if you could step into my shoes, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
That would probably be the big thing that I would say is I lacked a lot of confidence when I was young because I had a lot of negative messages. And I know that there's a lot of young people that get a lot of negative messages, and it's so hard because as a society or whatever, people who are older than you or richer than you or whatever, they're supposed to know more than you do. But if you realize that you know more about you than anybody else knows, that's going to set you up for success. That's what I
Absolutely.
wish somebody would have told me, because it gives you the faith to take that step, to take that risk. And then when you take that risk, sometimes you're going to fall down. And those people who are like, ah, you should have never done it, you're going to learn from that mistake. And if you can walk away with your head high, knowing like, I learned something and I'm going to use that next time. It may seem like in the moment, it's like the worst thing that ever happened. But life is long, and there's so many things that happen in life that you can never imagine. And it's so funny that a lot of the times, the things that happened way back, they teach you something really, really important that later on is so useful to give you the success that you could have never had if you didn't have that negative experience happen to you. I remember one time when I was in school, I was on a small team, and the other people on my team, there was just three of us, and two of them didn't want to do the assignment. It was like a project, and I was working really hard on it, but we didn't check back with each other because they weren't really involved. And I thought, okay, you know, I'll just do my part and we'll get together and it'll all be done. Well, it didn't get done. Only my part got done. And I was really upset about it. But I thought that the teacher would say, okay, you know, she did hers, you guys didn't do yours, but didn't go like that. We all wound up flunking that. And the other people on the team, they went to bat for me and they said, you know, it's not her fault. You know, she was the one who was trying to get us, but he didn't cut the grade. And at that time I thought, this is the most unfair thing in the world that this has happened. But, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, God, that's such a great lesson. You know, your team doesn't come through, the badges don't get made or the whatever doesn't get picked up. You better be ready to go do it. And so that negative lesson certainly has helped me throughout all of this.
Absolutely. And you really never know when something might come along in like later years, because for example, you know, your group didn't really do their part, only you did. But later on, as you became an entrepreneur, you knew that this might have happened and you were able to reroute based on that. So you actually took the chances that you could. And as a student, it's kind of hard to navigate around what other people say, like especially people older than me, because they might seem that they have a lot of expertise. But of course, you know, they're going to say things, but I think that if you know that you know yourself more and better than everyone else, then you can set yourself up for success and, you know, again, find your purpose in whatever you want to do.
Yeah, the idea of just confidence is such a big thing. And I think a lot of times we put too much pressure on ourselves to be confident because we know that's what's going to help, you know, that's what's going to make us be able to sail forward. But realize that everybody struggles. And it's over and over become really clear to me that sometimes the people that you think never worry about their confidence at all are, you know, behind the doors having just as hard of a time as you are. And trying to build it up, you know, give yourself grace. I think that is a huge message to everyone. Give yourself grace. It doesn't all happen overnight. Anything you're going to do doesn't happen overnight. When I started Women Tech Founders, I hadn't been to the city in a long time. And you can easily get lost in the city. When you're driving around there, it's stressful. The first times that I started going back in and going to these meetings where I had to go all over the city, like my only goal for that day would be, I'm going to be able to get my car in the parking garage and it's not going to be lost. And I'll, you know, just those basic kinds of things were like a win for me. And then I would be like, okay, this is a great day, you know, now I'll do the next little thing. But being able to give yourself a pat on the back when you do those little things, instead of being so hard on yourself, like, okay, I did this big thing and, you know, whatever happened, the little things, they'll get you there, but you have to take them step by step and have people around you that are going to be your cheerleaders. The first time that I got on stage and started speaking, I had this amazing woman named Jill, and she ran this big organization and she was our host. But I had created Women Tech Founders. I had hired her she volunteered. She had to come on and be the face of the whole thing, opening it, and you know, the person that would have the personality, because I was like, I thought I could never do that. At the end of all of this, there were a couple of things that happened actually. One of them was that all the women helped. Like, they knew that I wasn't a professional speaker, and most of them weren't either, but everybody knew something. And they were all the kind of mindset of an entrepreneur. Well, we're going to figure it all out. And one person's like, okay, we should put the chairs right over here. And when another person's like, yeah, we need to fix the lighting, blah, 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 you know. And so everybody did a role. And at the very end, when we were closing out, I was on stage with a couple other people and it was the closing and I saw Jill was standing on the side and I motioned to her to come over because I wanted her to make this big grand finale end. And she backed up and she's like, you need to do this. And, you know, there were a lot of important people that were in the room at that time, and she could have easily been the one to take over, but she didn't. You know, she, again, like, she gave grace, not to, she gave grace to us, to me, to everyone that was standing up there on the stage, and she let everybody there shine. And I think that giving grace to yourself and to other people is just huge.
I love that story. I mean, she could have taken that speech and she could have made like the grand finale, but she gave you the opportunity to actually speak your mind. And I think that's amazing. Another thing that I want to add on to that is we're all basically the same. We all have 24 hours and we all have different issues. I don't think that anyone is perfect. There's probably something that people need to work on. So if you feel bad about doing a presentation, thinking that you're not good enough or you're not confident enough or you're going to stutter, don't fret because there's probably someone out there who's doing just that, but they know that and they're using that to their advantage to become a better person. So don't put yourself down and keep your head high.
Absolutely. Very well said.
Thank you. And my question for you is, what are the best resources/books that have helped you find your career path?
So I tried to narrow that down and I had such a hard time because I love to read. I think that reading is so important, but so is listening to podcasts like yours. I mean, so is looking at role models that are out there. So I don't want to narrow it just down to one thing. I feel like books and those types of things have given me a roadmap forever. Growing up with the situation that I had, there were a lot of negative messages that were all around. And one thing that my mom always said, you know, she had been in a virtual underground prison. And she said, the one thing they could never take away, you know, they took away her hair, they killed her family, that all these things happened, but they'll never be able to take away what I've learned, you know, and education was huge. And so in our home, we didn't really have toys or anything, but we have books. And I have learned so much, like, about the world from reading and hearing from others. So there are books that ever since, you know, you're a little kid and you're listening to the engine that could, you know, to all the different messages that you take from self-help books. I love business self-help books. And as I've become an entrepreneur, there's a lot of different ones. And, you know, if anybody wants, I'd be happy to give them my little list of business books. But I think there's so much value in any learning that you can do through books. So I don't want to just narrow it down to one.
Absolutely. Like what you just said right there shows how priceless education can be. Like people can take away anything that they can put their hands on, but what they can't is your mind and the stuff that you know and have learned. And education and books are a big part of that. I'm someone who isn't too big of a reader, but I've been trying to fix that. But I know how important reading can be and finding stuff through words. So I think that is extremely crucial as well.
I know you're pretty busy, so I imagine it's pretty hard for you to sit down with a bunch of books.
No, yeah. And my question for you is, what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
I think, again, I'm going to go to confidence. I think growing it slowly and getting that confidence was a changer for each level of my life. And I started out every step, I think, unconfident. But I guess in a way, as I'm talking here, I realize that maybe that made me more open to listening to everyone around me. I'm really good at listening to a lot of people's opinions and taking them very seriously and trying to integrate them into my thoughts to understand, you know, what I believe and what I don't believe. And gathering all of that up gave me confidence to move to the next step then. And like I said earlier, you know, there's trial and failure, but it's a cycle that, you know, you just keep iterating until you get it right.
Absolutely. Like what you just said right there was that you went through trial and error and you went through the motions of going step by step. And although you were, you know, unconfident at first, you slowly built up your confidence and you became someone who was able to be a leader and really understand other people's emotions and opinions and bring that together. So I think that the best thing is kind of like the motto, practice makes perfect. Like, of course, you're going to put yourself in places where you might be the most unconfident, the most scared. But as you slowly build up yourself and build your presence, you're going to bring that confidence up to a higher level, and you'll become a person of compassion and kindness as you bring other people's opinions together.
Absolutely. And I think the fear of failure too, I think that was a big piece, that in the beginning, I wanted to do everything perfectly, and I let that stop me from doing things. And I also didn't have enough trust in some of the opportunities that came past. I thought, oh, they're too good to be real. And, you know, that just came from like the littlest things, people initiating friendships to, you know, work type of things that were opportunities. I just thought, oh, this is too good. You know, to be able to kind of lean into, yeah, that's good. That's real. I can have some faith. And even if it doesn't work out and I fail, it's okay too. And I'll learn from that too, is a big deal. And then when things go well, having the trust to build collaborations is the other thing, to know that you have worthiness to give the world that's uniquely yours, that the world wouldn't have if you didn't exist. And to figure that out and then be able to collaborate with other people, that is a huge skill. That's something that I wish is taught more at school. I know at least it wasn't to me, but the ability to collaborate with others is super important. And having the openness and the confidence to do that all goes together.
Yeah, I mean, as a student who, you know, went through COVID-19 online learning, it was kind of hard to make those connections and collaborate with people. And then when we went back to school, it was even harder to adapt. But I feel like that's one of the big things that school teaches, or should teach, to be honest, is how to collaborate with a variety of people, because there's going to be people who are, you know, super uncooperative, and then people who are extremely shy and say yes to whatever. And then there's going to be like the leader who bosses people around, and there's going to be an empathetic person who takes notes. There's going to be a lot of different people that you meet, and trying to figure out how you can make things work together, I think that's a skill that is extremely helpful and can help in any situation.
Absolutely.
And my last question for you before we end off the interview is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
When I began my career path, I thought that there was one career path. And now I realize that it's really amazing, because life doesn't work like that. You get to try different things, and everything that you try, it gives you new insight into something else that you might want to do. So you might start out thinking that you want to be an accountant or what, any career, name X, and you get into it and you realize, this is not for me. When you switch that career into a new career, you got something that anybody else in that new career doesn't have experience in. And it's amazing how oftentimes it's the blending again. It's the, you know, you have a different mindset, you're special, and it gives you an opportunity to advance in that second career. You might see it as a liability coming in, but it's funny how over and over again, I've seen that to be true. When you are open-minded enough to be able to take all your skill sets and just flower with them, because these people in this new career that you have, say you were in accounting and then you went into marketing, and you in marketing, people are kind of similar. You know, they have certain mindsets, things like that, but you're bringing in this other side of you that if you share it, it's going to enlighten everybody. And that can be a big plus to everyone.
Yeah. And I really want to add that it's good to explore things, and it's good to not, you know, confine yourself into a bubble that, oh, if I want to go into accounting, then I have to do X, Y, and Z. But maybe you add in, you know, B, or maybe you add an A, or maybe you add in random different things that might have not been in that linear path. And if you find different career paths or different hobbies that you enjoy, then it's okay to explore those even further. And I'd recommend you to not cut those off because, you know, that's technically your purpose. You found something that you enjoy, and I don't think you should let that go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think any of the greatest gains that I've ever seen or that I've ever done has been the result of blending things together. When you can blend them together because you've had different experiences, you've had, you know, different insights than somebody else. And so you put them together, like I put together having a teacher being in the home, you know, that's a different kind of thought and what they can do. You know, that was a blend of different things, you know, having women and having technology and bringing those together into the entrepreneurship startup space, that was different than other people were thinking about. Being different has always been the path that I've seen be successful when you really believe it and it's really who you are.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Terry, for being here today. Before we end off, do you have any last words to the audience?
Well, if you're listening to this, I know that you are a really, really special person. The average person is living a life that's more of a consumer. And if you are listening to this, you've also got the mindset of a maker. And that means you're going to go out there and you're going to be able to change the world. So have faith in yourself. Have confidence that you really are unique. You really do have special things to give the world. And give it all you've got. Give it your 100%. Total faith in you.
Thank you so much, Terry. I absolutely love talking to you, and I hope you have the best rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Arna. Take care.
And here are my 3 cents on this episode with Terry. The power of emotional support. Find yourself a support group. They can teach you the importance of having cheerleaders in your life, people who encourage and uplift you both during good and challenging times. This emphasizes the significance of emotional support and positive reinforcement. Through shared experiences, you'll understand how a supportive community can boost your morale, build resilience, and enhance your overall well-being. The priceless value of education, which is a support group here, can foster a culture of continuous learning. Through discussions, shared insights, and diverse perspectives, you can gain knowledge and skills that contribute to personal and professional growth. This underscores the idea that education is not limited to formal settings, but extends to the ongoing exchange of ideas, experiences, and information within a supportive community. And celebrating small wins, recognition, and appreciation here. In this support group, you're likely to celebrate both big and small achievements. This practice reinforces the importance of acknowledging and appreciating even the smallest victories in your journeys. Learning to celebrate small wins helps cultivate a positive mindset, boosts motivation, and encourages perseverance. It teaches you that progress is often incremental, and recognizing these steps forward is crucial for sustained success. Thus, that concludes the episode for this week. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show, and it helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Dito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Toodles!